I'm Hillary.
And I'm Sandra. You know, you really learn a lot about a person when you find out exactly how they lost their V card.
And that is something that you and I have never shared, Sandra. I have no idea how you lost yours.
I mean, I can only imagine the disaster that it was, because every other story in your life feels like a disaster.
But
me.
Whatever. I assume yours, you were a total hoe.
Well, it feels like we do know each other very well, after all. We're going to talk about how we lost our V cards, and we also welcome a couple of guests on the podcast today, a colleague of ours in radio, Wendy Boomer, and an actual listener of the Quick and the Dirty podcast, Lee Williams.
This is going to be a whole lot of fun and probably too many details.
The Quick and the Dirty podcast with Hillary Welch and Sandra Plagakis.
So, Sandra, I'm kind of freaking out. Like, when I say kind of, I mean totally freaking out. I'm losing my mind.
Are you at DEFCON 1?
The alarms are sounding.
That's right. And we're all heading into the bunker right now to save ourselves.
Sandra.
What happened?
I'm just getting everything I ever wanted, and I don't know how to handle it.
What do you mean you're getting everything that you ever wanted?
Chris has officially asked me to move in, like, soon.
Give my notice
on my apartment move in.
It felt like this was such an abstract conversation that we've been having for the last 6 months, maybe?
It felt like 4 years?
I honestly didn't think it was even going to happen, because your geography, all these things were sort of keeping you apart. So he's actually asked you to move in with him?
Yep.
Did you say yes?
We have made the choice.
Oh, my God. Am I supposed... I don't know. Do you want me to be happy for you?
You're like, I would never live with anyone ever again. I'm so happy for you.
As your girlfriend, I'm happy that you're getting what you want. As a woman of a certain age, I would hate to ever live with a man again. But I'm happy for you. This is what you want, right? So what's wrong with you?
I had a total meltdown on Friday, and we had a discussion, and I said, babe, it's not that I don't want to live with you. It's just I'm 50% scared and 50%... No, I said, I'm 50% excited and 50% terrified. And he was like, oh, you might want to reframe that as 95% excited and 5% terrified.
And how does he feel about it? Like, he obviously asked you, so he's not terrified.
Well, the moving in, I think, is easy for him. But for me, because our situation's kind of interesting. He lives like an hour away, and he's got two kids, and he's been married before, and he has allergies to dogs. So there's lots of things that are pretty much like hard no's in our life. Like if I move in, I have to do the lion's share of the commuting because we have to live out of town for his kids. He's not huge on getting married again. So that's kind of like a may or may not happen. There's just some things. He's particularly neat. He's aligned, right? And I'm kind of being more flexible.
Are you going to buy a place together? Get a place together, or are you moving in with him?
I'm moving into his house. We're going to do it for a year, and then we're going to buy.
Good. That's good. So you have a little trial run. See if everybody likes it.
And if we still like each other.
If you still like each other in a year, you can take the next step.
The worst part of this all is that I have to live with my parents half time.
What are you talking? Oh, that's right. Because that is, you bury the lead. You
right.
Really like that.
I think
you missed that.
That is the big thing. That's what I'm worried about. It's that I have to put my tail between my legs and live with my parents part time. And here's why. So he lives about an hour away. Sandra and I both do morning radio, which means winter, I have to drive this crazy stretch of highway that is really quite dangerous. So I have to live with my parents a few days a week.
Oof. Sorry.
Are you starting to get heart palpitations?
I just felt a cold draft when you said that. I don't know why. The thought of being... I visit my dad on the regular, and I go maybe every 2 to 3 weeks to Montreal. Mm-hmm. And it's just odd to be in your parents' house again, because you're never treated as an adult.
No, I'm going to have to tell them where I am and what I'm doing and when I'm coming home and whether I'll be there for dinner.
Right. And they don't speak to you like a regular person. They speak to you like a child. And that's something you're going to have to get used to again.
Yeah, it's really very odd.
I mean, but otherwise, it's great. It's really great. It's good.
Yeah, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
So, by the way, let me ask you the next question. Once you live together, do you call him your boyfriend, your partner? I always, when people say my partner, I always feel like it's a business transaction. You know what I mean?
Right. Here's my partner. Which, you know, that is what marriage is.
It is. Well, not at the beginning. You're still having sex, which is lovely.
Well, sometimes that's a business transaction.
That's well. So, like, what are you going to call him?
That guy that I live with.
Can I suggest something?
Okay.
And I think it would be very hot because if I was in your situation and I moved in with my hot boyfriend, I would always call him my lover.
Oh, he would hate that.
Of course he would. And it's everything about it is ugh, but it's hilarious. Just call him your lover. This is my lover. So the first thing people do when they meet you is imagine you guys having sex. Because that'd be the first thing.
And I'm sorry. I was going to say you're welcome, but let's just be honest. That's not what it's going to
be. Here's my lover. He took me last night. No?
Sometimes okay. I like to say make love just because it's hilarious.
Make love. Like, if I had a boyfriend that said make love, I would dump him immediately. No.
I know, but I like to say it as a joke. Yeah. When you make love to me and he's like, ugh.
No, but I'll stick it in.
Right.
Okay. Well, I hope you and your lover, I wish you nothing but the best.
And now, speaking of sticking it in for the first time.
Segue of the year right there. We're going to talk about the V card.
Yeah. One day we'll win a podcast award, Sandra. Yeah, we're talking about our first times. We have some amazing guests with us to share their stories as well, because let's just admit it, everybody's first time is hella awkward.
Yeah, sometimes there's tears, sometimes there's laughter, sometimes you end up in a corner rocking. I mean, whatever, right? But the proverbial popping of the cherry is always memorable at the very, very least. I think we can agree.
I think so. So we have a couple of guests with us. Sandra, would you like to introduce them?
I would be more than happy to. She's actually been a guest on the podcast before. We did another roundtable about a year and a half, 2 years ago on dysfunctional family Christmases. And I feel like anytime we have a story about dysfunction, she seems like the right fit. Please welcome Wendy Boomer, a colleague of ours. Hey, Wendy.
Good morning.
Yeah. Hi, thank you for having me.
And we actually have a listener of the Quick and the Dirty podcast. He's also a listener of my radio show here in Ottawa. And he is becoming a friend, dare I say. Please welcome Lee Williams.
Hi. Hey, yeah, thank you for having me, Sandra.
Hillary. I don't know if you want to be considered my friend, if there's shame.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. All right, just to be very, very clear.
And we were talking about before we started into this conversation that this is supposed to be a roundtable on our first times, but we realized it's just going to be a show about banging dudes.
Yeah.
Because we...
Yes.
Banging dudes. Here we go.
Lee's a gay man, but he's not a gold star gay, they say.
No.
Lee has also had sex with women, so he has two losing virginity stories, which I can't wait to hear. I love it.
Yeah. Extra special.
Isn't that what it, do you feel like you lost your virginity twice?
I guess so. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. When you look back on the sexual experience you had with women, are you mortified?
No. Not at all.
Good.
I love women.
Good. We love you. You're a very sexy man.
Thanks. Stop that.
It actually upsets me that you're gay.
Before we get into telling our individual stories, I think this will be a fun game. Use one word to describe your first time. One word. Wendy?
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Oh,
yeah, girl.
Yes.
Oh.
All right, Lee.
Yeah, there was red
alcohol.
Wine.
Red wine. Red wine.
Yes. Yes.
That's two words, Lee. You fail.
Wine. Yes.
Sandra.
Tears.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
There was crying at my first time.
I swear to God,
there was crying at my first time. I'm so embarrassed.
Crying of joy.
Yours or his?
No. Okay, I'll get to it. Hillary, what about you?
Unsuccessful.
Did the cherry not make a popping sound? What happened?
Let's just say it took a couple tries.
All right. Okay.
Here's my deal. All right. So when I was a kid, I hate using that word. When I was a tween,
that's even worse.
So I grew up in a really small town, and we were all so bored that I guess what you did was just kind of each other. So I would go to these parties in grade 7, 8, and we all went to the same school. There's only 20 of us. And we would play like Mailman. Do you guys ever remember that game?
No. Do explain.
Okay. So Mailman was a game where I think originally what you're supposed to do is kind of like a kissing booth type thing, right? So you go into the room, whatever chosen couple went in, Chase and myself would go in, and then we would have 15 minutes in the closet.
So it's like 7 minutes in heaven, but you gave yourself double.
But then, we bent all the rules. But then when you were done, Chase would tell me who to go out and get for him next, because I was the mailman.
Oh my God.
I love this game.
Then I would have to go get Brandy, and she would spend 15 minutes in the closet. But then Brandy would tell him who she wanted next. So Brandy got, we each got a half hour in the closet with at least two individuals.
So it's like a key party.
Yeah.
Basically.
And except you choose your key at least the second time.
Yeah. And I was like, 14, 13.
So what were you doing in that closet, Wendy?
Everything but the sex.
But what counts as sex? Like, we have to go there, right?
Everything but penetration.
Really? Wow. So
we were dirty kids.
Yes.
And we were all about this. So, like, there was no shame is one thing that I actually kind of like about it, looking back on it. Like, none of us, we all knew what was going on in that dang room.
So none of the guys accused the girls of being sluts. Nope. Like, it was just everybody was a slut and we were all okay with it.
That's
And then, so then why didn't you go all the way?
I don't know. I'm sure in those moments it was way more nerve-wracking. But it escalated so quickly from like kissing to everything else. But I don't know. What ended up happening was I ended up getting through that phase. And then my first long-term boyfriend in high school was the one who took the V card.
So like how old were you?
When I lost it?
Yeah.
I was 15.
That's not a terrible age.
No. And then I was with that guy for like 5 years. Maybe even more. I can't remember.
So as our mothers like to say, you saved it for something special.
We totally did. And the alcohol part comes in because I was at a party the night before. My girlfriend was starring in Grease. And so I went to one of those theater parties. God knows who I made out with there. But then at the end of the night, one of the guys had made his own coolers. And we're like 15, like we're the youngest ones at the party. So of course we stole a bunch of these. And I cracked one of those coolers, split it with my boyfriend, and boy, did the pants fly off.
How long were you like together before you handed over the V?
Probably like, I don't know.
A day?
Probably a couple months.
Yeah. Oh, that's like, that's, right. That's great.
Yeah.
And was it lovely?
It was lovely.
Set the scene. I need the whole picture painted of the first time.
So it was lunchtime and mom and dad weren't home.
Mom and dad's everywhere are crying.
And my boyfriend had a car. So that's what you did. And we went home for lunch and we split this cooler, which totally made us tipsy. Not like idiots, right? But just enough courage. And we got a condom. We were super smart about it all. Like, it was very, like, laid out. Do you know what I mean? I think we might have even done the stupid, like, let's put a towel down.
Just in case.
And then, it lasted a whole 5 seconds. But it was the beginning of, like, okay, this is fun. So it was just really, it was kind of, like, romantic. But then we went home, God, every day for lunch. and we were both in school choir and band together. So, like, you go on the band trips and everything. Where's Wendy and... I almost said my husband's name. Wendy and Ryan. There's Wendy and Ryan. Oh, they're coming. But we were like the star. Like, oh, they're such a great couple. I think she left her purse up in this room.
Yeah, sure you did, Wendy. So you were getting nooners every day, basically.
Every day. My whole high school career.
That's amazing.
With the same man.
Very cool.
Yeah. So all of those turns in the closet led to one very monogamous woman.
Yeah. So, okay. I thought it was going to be like more like you blacked out drunk when you said that there was alcohol involved.
I know.
But that's actually kind of sweet.
Yeah, no. We thought we were just, you know. Oh, gosh, you know, like, that's so dumb, too. You're just like, your kids, you go back to school, and then we were a little drunk. You weren't even drunk. You're just using it as an excuse.
Yeah.
So that you feel like it's okay.
That's right. And you had liquid courage. Oh, we just got drunk, and we went crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not a bad person. It just, it got kind of out of hand.
Yeah, right? And then fast forward 2 weeks later, we're both like, we're going home to, telling everybody, start the car. I don't know.
So you're taking your pants off in the car on the way home?
Totally. I didn't wear pants for a whole year.
I like that you can look back on it, though, and you have those great memories.
I do. I was very lucky. I was in love, and he treated me very well, and we had a great relationship. Yeah. So,
you know, Hillary, I don't know what it is about losing your V card. Like, it's such a big deal. And then we place it in such high esteem that it's terrifying for most of us to even get there. And when you do get there, you realize afterwards, it wasn't so bad. In fact, it was pretty good, right?
Or like it was entirely disappointing. I think most girls can say their first time is disappointing.
Right. And you just want to get it over
with. It's supposed to be something special. And inevitably, if it's also his first time, it does not last.
No. And nobody knows what they're doing. It's just mostly fumbling and trying to find the right holes. It's just a whole lot.
It took us longer to finish that one cooler than it did to put it on. So. And we split it.
All right. Who wants to give up the next story? Hills?
Come on.
I am kind of a nerd, and I like to build these big romantic stories about love. So the guy who got my V card, I met him 2 years beforehand. And Wendy, I know you've been to these things at Music Fest Canada.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a music competition for kids in high school. And I saw him play the bass and I was like, oh, you're going to play me. But he lived like far away. I like what your fingers are doing there. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You wanted him to slap the bass?
Right. Yeah, for sure. So I just like, there was something kind of came over me. And 2 years later, I walk into a rehearsal for a big band that I'm in, this band, and he's standing in the corner playing bass. And I was like, yes, this is happening. And I was one of those kids, like all of you, where you put it on this pedestal, right? And you try to make it this thing that's overwhelming and it's going to be so romantic. It took me another year to have the courage to make my move. A year. We would play, we'd gig together, we'd hang out socially, like with other people, but it took me a year.
You're watching him just pluck away on that bass for a year.
Everyone in the band knew I was in love with him.
You didn't do it.
But
did he know?
Oh, I'm sure. Am I one to keep my mouth shut?
No, you're probably very obvious. You're not a subtle person.
It was really embarrassing. Anyway, one alcohol.
Thank God.
One cooler or two?
It was a whole night. So I'm like a super mama bear, too. We had a big party in someone's backyard. We all camped out. And we were taking care of some friends together who had overdone it. And I was like, God, I would have been like 18. I waited. 18 or 19. It was like right at the end. It was the summer between high school and university.
Oh, God. So you got to make it happen.
Right. I was like, I can't go to university with my V card. This is ridiculous.
No, because you can't, because then you want to go there and be a total slut.
Well, no, but we weren't going into the same program and the same university.
That was me. I was projecting.
She wanted to marry him. She wanted to marry him.
Oh, my gosh. I have my diary from this time, and I recently read it. It was sad. It was sad.
Was he a tender lover?
We got drunk and he forgot his sleeping bag.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Ended up in your bed? Yeah.
You bet. But nothing happened. We were both so terrified. We just shook all night, terrified, and tried to tell each other we were cold. And finally, we went back to his house the next day. And why did I have to choose the biggest hung guy in the world to be my first?
This is not bad news.
It was like, it took us, I swear, five attempts. Five attempts. We tried different. We tried the couch. We tried the floor. We tried the. It was like a week long thing. Like, we'll make this happen. I promise. Like,
yeah. And the jaws of life were used at some point. Were they again?
It was so uncomfortable.
How long did it last?
Well.
Weeks,
a week,
apparently.
Because it took that long to get it in.
And then when it finally got in, what happened?
Oh,
how long
over.
Was it then? It was over. Yeah,
oh,
of
it
course.
Was over.
And you were delighted that it was over.
I was like, oh, can we never do that again?
So was he just a one-off?
No, we dated for 5 years.
Okay.
So like all through university. Sorry, not five. 3.5. I lied. Well, if you count that summer, 4. But yeah, we were together. We were in the same program at university. And then things went horribly wrong. He left me for a girl who he met on the subway.
Oh, with a big vagina.
It was true. Yeah.
Sorry.
He probably brushed up against her and she was like, yes.
You were way too high May by then, yes?
No, but she was from Montreal.
Oh, there you go. You buried the lead, girl. You really buried the lead on that one. Well, so do you look back on that experience fondly, or are you mortified?
Mostly hilarious. Like, I think it was a hilarious experience. And I can remember, like, us trying to make this all happen while his dad was in the other room.
Oof. Oh, my God. Really? Oh, damn it. Thank you, Hillary. That's, like, brutal.
Well, we weren't going to do it at my house. My parents are always around and they care.
Yeah. I know that. Like, that was mine, right? My parents are super religious and they still live in the old, like, 200-year-old house. So, like, you can hear each other fart from 3 levels up or down. Like, the house is just like, you can hear a pin drop from anywhere. So, but his parents, they just didn't pay any attention. So, and they had a sauna that had a lock on the inside.
It was a grotto, practically, wasn't it?
I mean, best years of my life.
I bet.
So do you want? That's just irresponsible parenting to have a sauna,
right?
I know.
It's like asking you to have a sex party.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Yeah. Do you want to go sweet now with Lee?
Our Sandra is saving her finale.
No, I can go. My finale. My story isn't great. My story isn't great.
Tears, you say?
Yes,
I want tears.
Okay.
No, I want to hold off on Lee because Lee's going to restore our humanity.
Oh, I hope somebody does.
I don't know about that.
You know, it's a funny thing. You say being a Montreal girl, I felt a lot of pressure to have sex at a very, very early age, but I held off for a really, really long time because when I was about 14, 15, 16, I remember hearing the way my male friends talked about women. And it was disrespectful. And every time they'd bang a chick, I'd hear about it. And I didn't like the way they spoke about women. And I vowed that I was never going to give up my V card to these pieces of shit. So I didn't for a long time. I would, you know, if I go out with the girls elsewhere, I would venture a little bit and I'd fool around with other guys. But my immediate circle, nothing. So I held on to my V card till I was 19.
I can't even believe
because
that.
Because I absolutely positively.
I love how you were like, yeah, Hillary, but it's Sandra. And you're like, that.
True story. Because don't forget, I grew up in a very Greek environment and it was very patriarchal. And I was surrounded by the patriarchy, which I hated it. I didn't want to be part of it and I didn't want to be anybody's possession. And the second I had sex with a boy, I'd be their possession because that's how they treated
women.
Good
for you.
So I was like, yeah, well, my cherry's staying intact. So, but I, you know, I still fooled around with French boys. Anyway, so... Who didn't? When I was 19 years old, I had a great group of friends in college in Cégep. And we were, you know, we're all getting drunk. We were having a good time. And I really liked one of them. He was a cool guy. He wore a leather jacket with the cult on the back. Ugh. You know, that's what cool dudes did. Yep. And his name was Ted. And he was a nice guy. He was still a bit of a bad boy, which I liked. And he was, you know, also part of the fuck the patriarchy thing. So I'm like, yes. And I seduced him one night. I went to his house. He was having a party. He didn't know I was a virgin because people thought I wasn't because of the way I behaved. I was a fun girl. Obviously, I'm a hoe. But in spirit, if not in reality. They had no idea because I didn't present like a virgin at all. And
that's daunting.
Yes. And he didn't know. So he realized that I was seducing him. And Ted thought, okay. So he cleared his house. He cleared his house really early. All his buddies left. He, you know, I lured him to his bedroom and we had quick and dirty sex.
Wow.
And he didn't know I was a virgin until afterwards. I told him. I realized it would be unfair not to tell him. And I told him. And I remember the look on his face was like, he was very hurt. Like, why wouldn't you tell me? I wouldn't have, you know, banged you so hard.
Well, he probably would have tried to make it more special.
I would have made, maybe there would have been more kissing. I don't know. But I remember feeling so bad for him that, you know, he gave me, I just wanted to get it over with. I was happy. I wasn't dissatisfied with the experience. I felt so bad for him that I started to cry and I apologized. And I said, I'm so sorry. I just wanted to get it. It was great. And he's like, well, what do you want to do now? I said, well, I'm meeting my girlfriend at the club. And I left him there.
And so it began Sandra's life for the next 10 years.
And I left him there because I didn't want to cuddle. And I felt I made it weird. I went and made it weird. And to this day, I wonder, should I have told him? I felt it was the right thing to do. I'm a straight shooter.
Because overall, the story's not bad, right? Like, clear the house out. Like, that's kind of hot, right?
And it was the
like,
first time I truly seduced a man, and not the last, but it was certainly the first. And I was damn good at it.
Yeah.
Damn, girl.
I was better at the seduction than the sex, for sure. And that's actually still my game.
Starvation still today.
Yeah, today.
It's kind of like you just did it, and then you said, goodbye. I got to go out.
That's literally how I had sex with men. I'm all about the seduction. Then the starfish, and then the quick exit. And I'm not even joking, actually.
It's
you laugh,
triple
but it's,
S.
It's a triple
the
threat.
Seduction, starfish, so long.
So long.
Wow.
And yeah, and that is the end of that story. It's funny story. We all remained friends. It was very weird between Ted and I for a while. But then about a year later, we were out again, and I seduced him again. And this time we went to a hotel, and I did a good job this time.
Wow. The redemption.
Nice.
Did he pat you on the back afterwards, Sandra? Like, good girl.
I just wanted him to know that I was better, that he remembered. I just wanted the last thing he remembered to be like the good sex, not the starfish.
Wow.
Why wow? I think that's, everybody wants a second chance at bad sex, don't they?
Yeah, no, sure.
So I got my second chance.
Very good.
I don't think my story's terrible.
No, I think it's great.
Except for the crying.
Except for the crying.
That kind of ruined the, you're like, go girl, doing what I want. And now I'm crying.
I'm crying.
The whole thing was great until the crying point.
I know. To this day, I'm actually quite embarrassed that I cried and I wasn't stronger my first time. But I was, you know, it was a big deal.
I was going to say, your emotions are just boiling up at that point.
Yes. And ironically, now I make men cry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm really disappointed you didn't make him cry your first time, because that's more like a Sandra move.
Yeah, I know. It's true. Maybe, yes.
So it was just the twice with him?
With him, yes.
And have you seen him after that?
Yes. Years later, he was part of my circle.
Really?
For a little while. And, you know, as people were having babies and getting married, I would see him from time to time. And it's funny because I haven't seen him probably in 15, 18, 19 years. And he had gotten married. And I was married. And we saw each other at a baptism. And we were all friends again. I actually forgot that I banged him. You know when you're just like...
are so memorable.
No, only because we were all friends first. And we had so many great stories about going to the club, playing pool together, drinking beer, shenanigans. Then like 10 minutes in, it's like, oh, shit. I banged. And I remember telling my husband, full disclosure, he was my first. And my husband going, he just didn't care. Tim doesn't care.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what does he care? It's over and done with, right? Yeah. And, you know, we all aged poorly. So he wasn't threatened in the least.
Have you run into your first, Wendy?
Well, we dated forever.
Yeah.
Like, we dated forever and ever, and then I ended up marrying his drummer. So it's a whole thing.
Mm.
So.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, a small town, girls.
Right.
So.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
I moved to London. I'm not from here. And my first just moved to town last summer, and I ran into him.
Oh, God.
At a gig.
You're kidding.
And he was playing, and I was like,
And you were like, hey, Hangman Harry, how are you doing?
wife's hand.
She's a star.
You're welcome.
Yeah. All right, Lee, it's that time.
Yeah.
Where do we start?
Actually, similar to Wendy, it was a small, not a small town, it was Hamilton, but it was like Hamilton Mountain. So there was only about 20 of us that went through school. So, you know, we all started fooling around like at grade five, grade six. I don't know how old are you in grade six?
13 like 10,
or so.
11, 12.
Are we?
Yeah, 12 maybe, yeah. So,
but it was French kissing. Everybody was French kissing. And so, you know, it started off with doing the closet thing. And I remember this, you know, one of our friends, Mary Lou, she ended up marrying somebody from Teenage Head. Do you guys know the group Teenage Head from Hamilton?
I don't know. So, do I?
There
you
are, like,
do.
Anyways.
You 100% do.
Okay.
She came at me with in the room, and she came out with these long nails and this tongue out. And anyways, that's my first experience with sort of French kissing with girls. And then it just kept sort of continuing. We did that all through high school.
Did we make out? We're not from the same town, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Southern Ontario. I dated girls right through high school, right up until, you know, well, I mean, right up, actually, I think my last girlfriend was 35.
So. Is that when you came out?
No. No, I dated both.
Oh, okay, so you're bi.
Off and on for many years.
For many years. So do you consider yourself bi?
I do sometimes.
Okay.
But the issue was, at some point, you got to sort of, you got to aim for one. You know, you got to, if you're going to settle down, you can't settle down with both, right?
Well, I don't know. It's a new world, Lee.
It's a new world.
Lee, you do you.
Yeah. So going back, I guess it was about 18, 19, same thing. I was with a young girl from high school. We had a great relationship. But one day I was going down the elevator. I worked at a department store called Eaton's. And I was going down the elevator and I smelled this cologne. And up until then, I had thought about guys, but it wasn't something I knew that I kind of had an interest in guys, but I didn't think about them sexually. I didn't. I saw guys at the gym. I didn't think anything really of it. I just thought that I was open to it, which made me feel different, you know? Right. And so going
especially down the Hamilton, that era.
Yeah. Hamilton Steel, but you know, I was destined to work at Stelco.
Yeah.
That was my destiny, you know, and all that, because my brothers had done it and whatnot. And going down the elevator, I smelled Polo. And I had smelled this cologne. Do you remember Polo? Polo, but like I had never smelled it before. And it was, and it hit me and I turned around and this guy was looking at me and he was looking back at me. I looked at him. I had to literally run down the elevator, run back up the elevator and meet him. And that was it. So he, unfortunately, well, he was 15 years older than I was. I was 19, you know, or 18, and he was 35, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah. So, but I knew that I wanted to be with him. I knew it. I didn't know why. I just knew that I had to be with him somehow. So, so literally, I guess about 3 or 4 months later, we were friends. I hung out with him. He introduced me to the gay world. He introduced me to gay bars. We didn't fool around until, I guess, I don't know, 3 or 4 months into it. And I was probably 19. We had a glass of wine and there we went, you know, it was love. I was starting to fall in love with him. I knew I was falling in love with him. You know, going against sort of everything my brothers or my dad wanted for me, they did not like it. They did not like me hanging around with a guy that was 15 years older. They all had issues with it. You know, but I hung in there. My mom was incredibly supportive. She, of course, he was a hairstylist. So she was getting her hair done for free. So what the hell?
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
I was going to say, so like, if I may, like 19, right?
Yes.
Did he have his own house? And like,
yes.
Like, yeah, right?
Yes.
Like that must have.
Growing up on Hamilton Mountain, you know, I wanted to get out. I wanted to get away. I wanted to go to college. I didn't want to go to the Steel, you know, I didn't want to go to Stelco and whatnot. And so, yeah, it was very enticing to know this guy and to hang out with him. He had a car. He had his own place. He had a set of friends that were hilarious. He went to these great bars with great music, and I loved it. So I did date both women and men at the same time. I dated women while I was dating him.
And he knew about it.
Yes.
And the women knew that you were seeing him or having feelings?
Yes, they did. And
that is so progressive.
It was.
Yeah.
So I would, and then I would date girls and I would take them back to the gay bar. We would dance and I would introduce them to this guy and stuff. It was difficult. It became very difficult to the point where, you know, I started to things like panic and anxiety and whatnot, you know. So I had to make a decision at some point. It was just not doing it at the same time. That was it. Just, you know, I would decide to do it, but not at the same time. So
he committed to you?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I wasn't sure, like, if you were free to play. I wasn't sure if he was free to play.
We were sort of together, I guess I would say, monogamously for about 3 years. But then it started to strain a bit because he knew that I had to leave Hamilton and follow my career. So he didn't want to get in the way. And so I think he kind of, I don't know, it just sort of fell apart. And I had to go. It killed me for leaving, but I did. But that was, it's all great. And in fact, I was talking to him like two weeks ago. And we had a great chat. And I talked to him maybe twice a year. And he has a partner and very happy. And they travel and do all sorts of great things. So I'm very happy for him now. But I still talk to him.
So, I love that story. It almost seems like at the end of it, you know, when they say if you love something, set it free.
Yes.
He had to set you free.
He had to. Yes. Yes.
You know, we were talking about first time you lost your virginity. But what about, you know, when you do it for the first time with a new person, there's just as much stress in that, too, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Hillary, you're, I think, the person who's in the newest relationship.
Am I?
I think
years?
So. Wendy's been married for a long time. I've been married for a long time. Lee was with a long-term partner as well. So, what's it like doing it for the first time with a new dude?
Oh, God. It's stressful because you're like, well, I look great in clothes, right? So, if you're relatively put together, that's your armor. And then you're pulling off your armor and you're like, well, it's not so put together underneath. Feeling a little self-conscious.
Getting naked with somebody for the first time is stressful.
Is it not? Like, do you get stressed out?
I'm realizing that there's a theme. Apparently, I've been drunk every time I get naked with somebody for the first time. Because it's that liquid courage. Like, you girls both know me. But, like, blatantly, like, I'm pretty confident. But I'm still human. Like, you know... I have this real body image thing where like, I'm cool. I'm good. I got this. But like you said, it doesn't matter. You still strip it all away. But I don't know. Like, alcohol's my friend because I walk in that room like, hey, baby, this is all yours now. Do you want it? Like, I don't know. It just takes all that away. Like, I picture myself how I picture myself. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the reality isn't a reality to me. Like, I'm hot as shit and you want it, so... But I guess I gotta have that courage.
Can I say something about Wendy? I want it, for God's sake.
I want it now, too.
I totally want it.
I'm looking at her and thinking...
Wendy, to me, is one of the sexiest women in the world, and it's because you are beyond being physically beautiful, and I know you're beautiful on the inside, too, but your confidence is, like, the hottest thing about you.
Well, thank you.
It really is.
I was born with it. I was very lucky. I was just... Honestly, and I never had... People really treat me poorly. Like, men in my life always treated me very well.
Good.
So I've been lucky that way.
Good.
So I think that helps. But apparently so does booze.
Booze always helps. Booze.
Just so you don't think about all that stuff. You don't need to think about all that stuff.
Right.
You don't need to worry about what underwear did I wear? I wasn't expecting this right now. Who cares?
Right.
Right? So we're here now. We're getting naked.
So
in the day, Lee, were you self-conscious? Or what are your feelings sort of when you were with a new partner?
Yeah, of course I was. I mean, I was never like ripped or anything, you know, in the gay world, you know, you gotta be ripped, right? And that was a bit difficult, but otherwise I wasn't a hoe. Like, I was not sleeping with guys every night or girls every night. After a while, I became more monogamous. I started having long-term relationships. There was the parts where, you know, there was some great bars here in Ottawa and, you know, when I would go out and meet a guy, but I'm not saying I would give in all the way. We might just go home and hang out and neck and kiss or, you know, and
right.
Fool around and whatever, you know, hand job or whatever. But anyways,
just and threw that in there, just like hand job.
You know,
tossed it out.
Yeah.
Can I just say, Lee, it's funny because I find Lee's beard to be like the hottest fucking thing I've ever seen. It's very, do you like women throwing themselves at you a lot?
No, never.
He's very salt and pepper.
You've got the perfect salt and pepper beard. I want to touch it and rub it off. You know the way I feel about beards, Lee?
Making him nervous and he gets even
I'm getting, yeah.
Sorry, Lee, it's fine.
Hands off, Sandra.
And Lee, you don't want to have sex with me. I cry. I'm a crier. As you were saying.
What were we talking about? We were talking about
how we all go through our kind of promiscuous stages, but for the most part, you're pretty monogamous.
Yes. Unfortunately, yes. Yes, I think.
So you're not living your best life?
I could be living a better life, yes. I could be.
We could all be living a better life.
Men aren't always men can be assholes.
What?
Yes, they can.
I hadn't heard that. Tell me more.
But so can women. I mean, you've experienced both. You know.
Yes. Women. I've never had. I mean, women have always been very good. I mean, I've never been dumped. You know, we've just sort of both at the same time decided to end it. But I've never had a woman cheat on me. Never. You know, I don't think. You know, and they were always, I mean, they weren't long-term, they were short-term. So, you know, and I would meet women at the gay bar. That was amazing. They were great. They were a lot of fun, you know?
Oh, I was thinking, when you were saying that you would go with your, like, a girlfriend and then go to the gay, like, you were the best boy, you're a woman's dream.
Yeah.
Like, right?
Like dancing? Oh, my God.
And you go to the gay bar with your boyfriend and, you know what I mean? And 100% no, too. Like, we're all comfortable in all of this and it's just, oh.
But, you know, there were times where I'd be like, there were some great straight bars, say, in Toronto, and I would literally be running from the straight bar to the gay bar and back and having, I would have these girls that I was seeing, my friend and I were straight ones were seeing at the straight bar.
Oh.
So I would run back, but I was seeing the guys at the gay bars.
Oh, my God. The
best and some of the girls.
Worlds.
And so I was running back and forth until the one day I opened up the gay bar and they were standing on the other side. And I sort of smiled and sort of said, you know, hey, why don't you come in and dance or something? I don't know what it was. But it was kind of worlds colliding, you know, at some point, too. So,
was it stressful to live that double life?
It was very stressful. Yes, it was very stressful. I didn't have anybody to talk to, you know, and you go through all those things of wanting to, you know, kill yourself and all those kind of weird things.
Oh, really?
And I went to my GP who had delivered me, and I didn't know how to talk to him about it. I just sort of sat in his room and I said, I'm having panic and stuff. And I remember him, he was about 67 years old, and he looked at me and he said, just make a decision. If it's the wrong decision, make another. And I said, well, what are you saying? And he said, you're AC/DC. And I had no idea that he would know what that term was. It was amazing. But I can't tell you the weight that came off my shoulder. It was incredible. And he just said, make a decision. If it's the wrong decision, make another one. That's as plain, as simple as can be.
That's amazing that it actually came from your doctor.
Yes. And I remember him. It was the best decision. And the panic went away and the anxiety went away. And but I realized, too, that I was hurting people as well. So just by doing one, having one at a time was much easier. So.
Yeah. And now we live in such a different world. Where people are it's fine. You don't have to choose.
Yes.
You can flip and it's fine.
Yeah.
Now you can all be in the same room together and have a good party.
You can. I think it was just more me.
Yeah,
it was just too much for me. Yeah.
And it was a different time, like you say, too.
Right? You have that support system and you're in Hamilton, which is all like hard. Balls to the wall type guys.
Yes.
You know, you can't be that.
Yes.
Yeah. So that makes sense. Look at you go. You come a long way, right?
Hey.
You want to high five him. I want to rub his beard. Come on. Different things happening here right now.
Oh, my goodness. I have a question for you. If you could take your V card back, would you? If you could, like, magically make it happen again.
And then, like a
and
a
have
mulligan?
To pop it again.
And
like
a mulligan
on your V card.
Oh, not for me.
You were happy, weren't you, Lee?
Very, very.
Good.
Yes.
Mine was lovely, but I had a boyfriend, a very serious boyfriend. He was my first kiss when we were like 5 years old, and we dated all the way through to grade 9. And we did everything but that. And I was so scared to do it with him for whatever reason. Like, we got close once, and I was like, I can't do it. But I kind of always feel like I should have given Jordan my V card.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, we had, like, such history. We still talk. We talk all the time. He has beautiful kids now, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. But you know what I mean? I'm just like, why didn't I... Like, we had such a good, solid relationship.
Because you weren't ready.
I guess, yeah, I just wasn't
like,
ready.
Now you're the brain of a woman who is ready, and you're thinking about it maturely. But, you know, 13, 14-year-old Wendy certainly wasn't ready to go down that road.
Yeah, I guess good
you,
for me.
You knew that. You
I
knew
made
that.
The right decision.
Yeah. Yeah. At the time you did. But now, is he hot? Come on, Wendy.
Don't worry, Wendy. Our partners never listen to anything we do.
Nobody's as hot as my husband, so whatever.
I would agree. I've seen your husband. He's pretty hot. But I just, that's not answering the question.
No.
Okay.
He's not.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. So no regrets.
No regrets. Let's just turn that around.
What? Would you do it again?
Yeah.
Would you take it back and do it again?
I would play it out the way I did. The best part of that story was the art of seduction. I enjoyed seducing him. That was, to me, the hottest part about that night. And I wouldn't take the seduction part back. I mean, the crying a little bit, maybe. I cry, but the crying made me human for once. And that was the last time I cried. No, but seriously, I was embarrassed about crying for so long. But I'm not embarrassed anymore. It was what it was. It was, you know, it was an emotional night for me. And I literally got hammered that night afterwards with my girlfriend, and I forgot about it. I moved on. You know, my aunt used to tell me, take a shower and it's all gone.
Literally,
it's all gone. And so, what about you?
Yeah, Hillary, what about your 2-month marathon virginity thing?
That was so uncomfortable. No, I wish that, like, there was a pill to make that smaller. I wish my next long-term relationship had been my first, because he had a micro penis. But
God, those guys are the worst. I mean, whatever.
But yeah, no, I think it was exactly what it needed to be. And I'm an emotional person. It had to be special-ish. So it just kind of elongated the inevitable. So to
elongated.
Great word.
Yeah. Did you ever wonder about people? I have a couple of friends in their 30s who are still virgins.
Mm. Yeah. We've had somebody on this podcast who was a virgin in her 30s. Yes.
And, like, to think about, Sandra, for you and I, we waited a really long time. And Lee, too, to pop the cherry. Like, do you think that pressure just continues to build and they're, like, setting them just out of guessing, setting themselves up to be disappointed later in life?
I'm not sure why they're still virgins at 35.
I don't want to judge them, but could you imagine yourself in that position? How that would feel? Like, had you put it off even longer?
No, I would. That would never have happened for me. Never. No way. No, I was too curious. Too curious.
And there's a point where you just got to do it.
And I had no guilt. There was no guilt. I didn't feel guilt.
Right.
So what worries me about that, I mean, again, to each their own, there's no judgment here, but is that at least if you get out that teenage, you know, that the stories that we've been telling here, right?
Yes.
The weird, awkward story. You get that out. Your 30s, to me, are the best years of your life. Mm. And that's when you really gain full confidence and you know who you are and you know what you want and you really, really take control of your life and what kind of people you want to be around and who you want to bang. And you know what? But if you don't have that, you know what I mean? If that right. silly moment, that all that nerves, all that silly high school kind of thing isn't gone, then you're going to pile all of that on top of it. And I just find, like, so many of my friends that are single now, like, they're not virgins at all, but they're still single in their 30s. They're making too many boxes to check off to find that person, right? Like, it's like they got to have all of this. And I'm like, ain't nobody got all that. Nobody.
Yes. Nobody.
I don't.
Got
you
all
don't.
That.
Like, you got to stop doing that. So then if you put all those expectations on sex in your 30s for your first time. Oh,
yeah.
I just really hope for you that you just get it over with.
Even if it's sloppy. Even,
even
if it's
sloppy, just get her done.
Yeah. Yes.
You know? Get her done. Cry a little bit and move on.
That's
right.
The only thing.
So let's take it from the other side, because we don't want to be judgmental on other people. Would you date a virgin if you were in a position today, because you guys are all married?
Touche. That would be fun too, wouldn't it?
Like, would you want to be that for somebody?
Yeah, right. I don't know.
No. I was at a party when I was about 20 years old, and we were all doing what we do in Montreal. We were getting hammered, and we were all, you know, some people were disappearing upstairs into the bedroom, and this guy literally begged me to take his virginity that night. He begged me.
And was he crying?
He was very needy, the little puke. He was like begging me, and I said, I can't take, and I said, I cannot take your virginity because you're a redhead. And I don't like redhead. You know what? Can I just say something? I didn't say that. But that's what I was thinking, is he was a redhead and disgusting.
So did you let him down easy?
I said to him, you are the greatest guy in the world, and I think so well of you. That's why you need to be with a girl who you have some kind of emotion for, not just, you know, party Sandra. I don't want that on me. And he kept saying, but you do what everybody else. Like,
oh, seriously.
Well, you know, I was after that cherry got popped, things got real.
But didn't you owe him the same thing that guy did for you? I mean, you had an unemotional sex because you lied.
But I did. I was sexually attracted to him.
Okay.
I seduced him because I
yes.
wanted him.
Yeah, that's true.
I did not want this redheaded stepchild. I was not attracted to him. Plus he was skinny. I don't like skinny men. He was a very skinny dude. As sweet as he was, there was nothing. I couldn't. And feel good about myself. You have to like somebody to have sex with them. It's not just anybody.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Moving on. What about you, Hills?
No, I couldn't be with a virgin.
I know,
men
I know.
Barely know what they're doing if they've had experience. Like, I need to be with a virgin.
I know. That's right. I couldn't. That's too much responsibility.
Although then maybe they might listen when you, like, tell them what you want.
Yeah, that's where I was thinking, like, I don't know. It could be kind of cool. It could be kind of special. Like, right? Yeah. No, dear.
Because right now, like a lot of guys, looking back on my dating days, I'm very lucky. I have a really amazing partner. But looking back on that dating stage when I first moved to London, guys get really offended when you tell them what you need.
Oh, yeah.
Like somehow you're telling them they don't know what they're doing. Well,
right.
No, I'm just not the same as the last person you were with.
That's right. And there's nothing wrong with a woman saying what she wants.
Damn straight, Sandra.
Damn straight, girl. Guys, I want to thank you both for coming in today. It was very, very illuminating. Oh. I'd like to say, Wendy, I'm going to look at you differently, but really I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not shocked
it's
at
like,
all.
It's like, yeah. You get what you get with Wendy.
Yep. Same old.
Same old.
Yep.
And Lee, thank you for coming on the podcast. I love that you're a listener of the podcast, and now you can say that you are a contributor now.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for sharing. I think
Lee
that was
had
really
his
special.
Cherry popped.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Love you, Hillary.
Love you too.
This episode is over, but the conversation doesn't have to be. Follow Hillary and Sandra on social. Instagram at Hillary on Air, at SandraKiss1053. Twitter at Hillary Welch, at SandraKiss1053. And on Facebook at Quick and Dirty Podcast. Got a question? Email Hillary and Sandra, thequickandthedirty@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can download the podcast each week to your mobile device to listen offline. Find The Quick and the Dirty on FrequencyPodcastNetwork.com, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcasts.